KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have cloudy skies, 3 degrees above zero in Atlantic. We look forward to be partly sunny today with a high around 18. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your Trane home comfort specialist dealer. And the National Weather Service did cancel that wind chill advisory that had been in effect until 9 a.m. Firefighters from six area departments responded to a log cabin fire about 6 miles northwest of Menlo on Sunday. Stewart Rescue EMS Director of Operations and Paramedic Jeff Howard told KJAN News yesterday that firefighters from Menlo, Casey, Stewart, Adair, Guthrie Center, and Panora were called to the scene of the blaze at 3067 Oleander Trail in rural Casey at around 7:16 p.m. Sunday. The Guthrie County Sheriff's Office and Iowa State Patrol also assisted at the scene. Howard said the weather and location of a 3,800-square-foot home made it difficult to get to and fight the fire.
It was back off the roadway, about a 200-foot driveway, so it made it kind of hard to get fire apparatus down close to the fire, and it was pretty much through the roof and very active and involved when we got there.
The residents were home, but they had gotten out safely. One firefighter was treated at the scene for a medical condition unrelated to the blaze, but there were no other injuries. Firefighters dealt with sub-freezing temperatures as they fought the blaze and wind chill temperatures dipping to around 25 degrees below zero Sunday night. Howard said those types of conditions take their toll on personnel and equipment.
I can tell you, when we arrived on scene, it was 6 below, and when we left, it was 14 below. You know, you try to keep your pumps running and water circulating and stuff like that, but you know, when it's this darn cold, it's just hard. And I've seen air packs freeze up before, and water lines freeze up, pumps freeze up. You know, it's just hard on the firefighters, and they get cold, and we gotta keep relaying them through, and it's just cold weather like this is just awful.
The Red Cross was activated to provide the family with necessities. Howard said they were staying with other family members in the area. News time is 8:02.
Last week, Mark became the proud father of twins.
Look, pumpkin silk diapers.
Like any new father, he wants the best for his girls. So he also became the proud owner of a Trane central cooling system. It keeps Mark's whole house cool and comfortable, no matter how hot it gets outside.
Doesn't that feel good?
And since Trane systems can also lower energy costs, there's more for the college fund.
Ivy League, of course.
When they say expect more from a Trane, they back it with over 90 years of industry-leading innovation, engineering, and manufacturing excellence. Hi, this is Bob Jacobson, owner of Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your area Trane dealer. You know the true Trane difference? You, your family, your comfort, and what it means most to us is providing better, healthier air for those that mean the most to you. Shouldn't that be reason enough to call me now at 877-838-8580? Call me now and let me show you how you can save money with a new Trane home comfort system. 877-838-8580. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train.
The Atlantic Police Department reported yesterday there were two arrests here on Saturday. 29-year-old Adam Morris and 31-year-old Bria Rourke, both of Atlantic, were arrested on charges of domestic abuse assault. They were brought to the Cass County Jail and booked in. And there were no injuries reported following an accident Sunday morning at 22nd and Olive Streets in Atlantic. Officials say a vehicle driven by Haley Potterbaum of Griswold was traveling west in the 600 block of East 22nd when her vehicle hit the left rear bumper of a legally parked vehicle registered to Jason Redler of Atlantic. Damage from that accident amounted to $4,000. Potterbaum was cited for failure to maintain control. The accident happened at around 3:20 a.m. Authorities in Audubon County said yesterday a passenger in an SUV was injured during a crash Saturday morning near Hamlin. The Sheriff's Department reports a 2010 GMC Yukon driven by 38-year-old Steve Clocky of Carroll and a 1999 Dodge driven by 19-year-old Cody Urin of Grimes collided at the intersection of Highway 71 and 44 at around 7:30 a.m. Saturday. Officials say the accident happened when Urin, who was traveling west on Highway 44, slowed when he came to the intersection but rolled through the stop sign. He did stop near the middle of the intersection, and that's when he was hit by Clocky, who traveled south on Highway 71. Clocky was unable to stop in time due to the slush on the roadway. After the collision, Urin's Dodge became engulfed in flames and was a total loss. Carter Drake, a passenger in the Clocky vehicle, was injured and transported by Audubon Fire and Rescue to the Audubon County Hospital, but there were no other injuries reported. Clocky's SUV sustained $5,000 damage in the crash. Deputies cited Urin for failure to obey a stop sign. The Fremont County Sheriff's Office yesterday reported three separate arrests occurred last week. On Friday, 39-year-old Kara Marcine Lorimore of Sydney was arrested for harassment in the third degree and contempt of court. That same day, 22-year-old Alexandra Brooke Odell of Hamburg was arrested for carrying a weapon, harassment in the third degree, and trespassing. And last Wednesday, 23-year-old Christopher Allen Richter of Sydney was arrested in Fremont County on three counts of burglary. Elsewhere in the news, a Northwest Iowa hospital says it's reviewing its security policy after a person committed suicide in one of its restrooms. Officials at the Cherokee Regional Medical Center say the incident happened Sunday evening, but additional information has not been released. Cherokee Regional CEO John Comstock told the Sioux City Journal that the person was not a patient and did not have contact with staff or other patients. Comstock also says officials have found no fault with the hospital's security policy, but they are considering small changes. He didn't elaborate on what those changes may be. An Iowa artist known for painting patriotic pictures on a boulder in Greene County has painted a much smaller and more notable mobile object to help raise funds for veterans. Iowa Lottery CEO Terry Rich says that a motorcycle built in Spirit Lake and painted by Ray Bubba Sorensen will be raffled off in conjunction with a new Iowa Veterans Fund lottery ticket.
All the non-winning tickets can then be submitted for this special edition of the Victory Motorcycle.
And the special veterans scratch-off tickets were created in 2008, and just over $14 million from their sale has already gone to the Iowa Veterans Trust Fund. Terry Rich says the tickets will still have their normal prices, and if you can't win one of them, you can't have a second chance with a motorcycle.
You're able to go to www.ialottery.com and actually register your ticket.
The Iowa Lottery will then set up a drawing of all tickets that have been registered to draw for the winner of the motorcycle. Sorensen has painted what's known as the Freedom Rock for several years in Adair County and says he wasn't quite sure if he was the right artist for the motorcycle project.
I paint boulders and I'm a brush painter, and I told him, you know, this is going to be artwork that's brush painted. There's going to be layers. You're going to be able to see some of the brush strokes. And the more we talked about it, we thought, that'll make it unique. And so this is my first time doing something like this, and I think it turned out great. I hope you guys like it.
Sorensen kept up with a patriotic theme for this particular project.
My favorite colors are red, white, and blue. One of my favorite animals is the eagle. And so you might be able to see a couple of those things on this.
He says once the initial sketches for the design were completed, it only took 5 days to paint the motorcycle.
When I took on the project, I was done with the Freedom Rock Tour for the summer, and I wanted to completely concentrate on it. So I kind of locked myself in my studio for 5 days and completed the artwork.
Sorensen currently has an effort underway to create a Freedom Rock in all of Iowa's 99 counties, but he's not sure if he'll do anything more as far as motorcycle painting is concerned.
Well, I don't know. I think I might just keep this one as the unique one in Iowa. I don't know. I had fun doing it, but I think my specialty is on boulders.
The Iowa Lottery said the motorcycle is valued at around $31,000. The Ride to Riches tickets will be on sale through March 26th, with a drawing for the motorcycle held sometime after that. The director of the Iowa Department of Transportation plans to spend up to $100,000 over the next 5 years to imprint a new agency logo on DOT signs, stationery, and other materials. But a key Democrat in the Iowa Senate says it's a waste of money. Senator Todd Bowman, a Democrat from Maquoketa, is chairman of the Senate Transportation Committee.
To me, the logo is a logo. It's propaganda, and, you know, it's just not necessary right now.
If the agency has $100,000 to spare, Bowman says it should be spent on the state's crumbling transportation system rather than a fancy logo.
I think in the time period where we're strapped in regard to road projects and bridges, that it certainly sent the wrong message.
The Iowa DOT's director unveiled the new logos to staff last week. It replaces the red and black logo featuring the words Iowa Department of Transportation that was created in the 1970s. The new maroon and gray logo shortens the agency's name to Iowa DOT and contains the words smarter, simpler, customer-driven along the bottom. The DOT's director told agency staff the new logo put the DOT in a modern light, but Senator Bowman doesn't see it that way.
I just think this sends the wrong message to people when we're asking for ways to find additional funding for very necessary projects, you know, our roads and bridges.
This fall, the DOT's director circulated a list of money-raising ideas legislators could consider to fill a projected $215 million shortfall on the DOT's budget for road and bridge construction and maintenance. Bowman suggests the logo episode has reduced legislators' interest in embracing any of those ideas. Taking a look at national news headlines at this hour, the record-setting cold temperatures that invaded parts of the Midwest have extended into the east and south this morning. Temperatures dropped to 8 degrees in Atlanta and 6 below zero at a remote weather station in the North Georgia Mountains. Parts of West Virginia haven't been this cold in 25 years, and the extreme cold in Virginia beat record lows that it stood since the late 1950s. Highs are only supposed to get into the single digits today in Georgia and Alabama. Wind chill warnings extend as far south as Florida. While U.S. home prices barely rose in November from the previous month, year-over-year gains slowed, reflecting declines in sales in the fall. The real estate data provider CoreLogic says prices increased just 0.1% in November from October, but prices have risen at a healthy 11.8% from a year ago. And the Senate is expected to hold a test vote this morning on a bill that would extend jobless benefits for the long-term unemployed for another 3 months. Democratic supporters need 60 votes to advance the White House-backed bill. Republican Susan Collins of Maine said she'll vote to advance it in hopes that her fellow GOP would have a chance to offer changes that would offset the cost. News time is 8:11.
I told you this house was too good to be true. We haven't even been here a month, and the furnace won't start, the toilet keeps backing up, and the bathtub has a constant drip.
I told you I will fix everything this weekend.
No, that's what you said last weekend before the toilet broke. And remember the last time you tried to fix the furnace? Yeah, the fire department had to come, and we were the laughing stock of the whole town. Seriously, if you don't call Bob today, I'm going to stay with my parents.
Hi, this is Bob at Jacobson Plumbing and Heating, your local train dealer in Fontenelle. Let me help you keep the fire burning in your marriage and not in your basement by completing all those honey-do lists for you. No job is too big or small when it comes to heating, cooling, venting, or plumbing. Just call me at 1-877-838-8580, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train.
In our funeral announcements, Joanne Jody Henningsen, age 83, a longtime Atlantic resident, died Wednesday. Memorial services for Jody Henningsen will be today at 1 o'clock at the First United Presbyterian Church in Atlantic, with a celebration of life service afterward at the Atlantic Golf and Country Club. Roland Funeral Service of Atlantic has arrangements. Eugene Clark, age 81, of Stewart, died Saturday in Des Moines. Funeral services for Eugene Clark will be tomorrow at 2 o'clock at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. Kirby Joe Lockery, age 91, of Guthrie Center, died Sunday. Funeral services for Kirby Joe Lockery will be on Friday at 1 o'clock at the Bowman Chapel in rural Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has arrangements. Chester Pete Krogstad, age 94, of Elkhorn, died Sunday. Funeral services for Pete Krogstad will be this Saturday at 10 o'clock at the Elkhorn Lutheran Church. Odie Funeral Home in Kimbleton has arrangements. Mildred Millie Mueller, age 90, of Griswold and formerly of Atlantic, died Monday at the Griswold Care Center. Funeral services for Millie Mueller are pending at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. And Daryl Betts, age 86, of Bayard, died Monday at his home. Funeral services for Daryl Betts are pending at the Odie Funeral Home in Bayard. The news was brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.